KPFK 90.7 FM, and you are listening to the Report to the Listener with Eva Georgia. We'll have a report from the manager, our new manager, in addition to various members of the staff here at the station. All this and more after a news update with Justin Stinchcomb.
Thanks, Esther. Two large aircraft have collided in midair on the German-Swiss border near Lake Constance. The planes hit the ground on a road close to the lake, a spokesman for the Baden-Württemberg state government said. Police said the planes were a Russian-made Tupolev 154 and a Boeing 757 cargo plane. A police spokesman said two bodies had been found and debris from the crash was spread over a 20 to 25 mile area near Lake Constance. It was unclear how many other people had died, the spokesman said. There are conflicting reports about today's U.S. airstrike in southern Afghanistan. Local witnesses and hospital officials say American warplanes attacked a house today while a wedding was underway, killing and wounding scores of people. U.S. military officials in Afghanistan say U.S. warplanes attacked. U.S. military officials in Afghanistan say U.S. warplanes launched an attack after American forces in the area came under fire. A Pentagon source says at least one bomb apparently went astray, but it's not clear where that bomb landed. Military officials say U.S. investigators will be sent to the area. Local hospital officials say most of the dead and injured were women and children. Many of those hurt are being taken to Kandahar. An Afghan Defense Ministry official said celebrants were firing guns into the air, which is traditional at Pashtun weddings. The European Union's foreign policy chief is accusing the United States of taking the UN peacekeeping mission in Bosnia hostage. But European Union foreign policy chief Javier Solana says he hopes a deal can be reached. Those remarks after the United States threatened to kill off the UN-backed Bosnian peacekeeping mission in a dispute over the powers of the new Global War Crimes Court. The U.S. wants its peacekeeping forces to be immune from prosecution by the new International Criminal Court. The United Nations now has until midnight on Wednesday to find a deal. We'll have more on the KPFK Evening News at 6:30. Now it's back to the Report to the Listener with General Manager Eva Georgia.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Eva Georgia, and this will be my first Report to the Listener. I'd just like to say thank you, Justin, for the news there. And in the meantime, I'm doing this report a little different tonight. I have with me several of the managers so that we are able to answer all of your questions. I have with me Esther Mania, our interim general. You're not the interim general manager, are you, Esther?
No, I would never take that on.
Okay, that's a good thing to know. So I have Esther, the interim program director, as well as our subscriptions director, that's Terry Guy, our finance director, Terence Cheng, and Maria Kim, our webmaster. The idea is to provide you with as many answers as possible with the concerns that you have to address. And this is how we do things here now anyway, to work as a team. So before I just give you some updates, I think this is a great opportunity to redefine KPFK as to what we need to do with regards to especially programming and governance. Mostly it's an opportunity to bring KPFK listeners, listening groups, the lab, and the community organizations to develop closer relationships with the station as we create a culture of collaboration and participation in decision-making. The station is your station, and I am committed to transparency and putting democratic structures in place. I want to let you know as the listener that the door is wide open, and we hope as you propose and set forth ideas that you will also come up with possible solutions and resources to help us implement your ideas. I'm here to serve KPFK listeners and will treat you with dignity and respect. And I trust that we can ask the same from you. So I believe that I'm here at this community radio station to serve the best interests of the listeners. Let me go to a couple of updates. And again, this is KPFK 90.7. We're doing our first GM listener report for you that's just tuning in. On with regards to the transmitter, I've been up to Mount Wilson with Terry Guy, and we know that probably more than 90% of the work have been completed. The transmitters have been installed. Unfortunately, with testing, doing some testing last week and the weekend before, they did try to, our chief engineer did try to, okay, I'm having some technical issues right now. But our chief engineer did go to full power, and we did have some problems, technical problems, that we trust will be resolved within the next week or so. On that note, the Peace and Diversity chapter of FPNN is hosting a party to celebrate the transmitter and to introduce my position to the community. And you will keep you up to date with more information about that, but that should be happening on July the 27th. A couple of more things that I just want to relate to. There were some mandates from the national board meeting, one of which was to have a bylaws discussion for two hours a week on the air. And we're dealing with that right now. We'll be meeting with people from the bylaws committee to see how that will take place on air. There's also been a request. I see a Terrence, he's our business guy. He's having some problems with the headphones, but that's okay. He's more a numbers person. In the meantime, there will be a lab program that will also be happening on the air, and later on we'll be joined by Lydia Brazan, the new chairperson of the lab, to talk to us just briefly about what's happening with the lab right now. There's also a proposal on race and diversity that was accepted by the national board meeting, and we've been mandated to implement that. So I've already started discussions with this, and there will be more dialogue on air and with the different groups to talk about the implementation of the Race and Diversity Committee. We've had some with regards to web streaming. We've had a number of problems, as many of you would know, with regards to streaming and people not being able to hear us. So I think at this point we've resolved most of the problems. I do have our webmaster with us, and that is Maria Kim. And I'm hoping that within the next few days we will have the matter resolved. And in a little while we'll be taking calls. So for right now, I think there's a number of other problems I want to address, but right now I'm going to give it over to Esther to just talk a little bit about programming, and then I'll come back with issues about HR and hiring.
Well, thank you, Eva. And before I begin that, I just want to say welcome to your new position here at KPFK. We have all been anticipating your a little stability around here, shall I say, so welcome. In regards to programming, we are currently seeking program proposals and looking for a new host. We have over 50 proposals that we are currently sifting through, and we encourage those of you interested to please submit a proposal. However, the deadline for submitting a proposal is July 31st. At this point, we hope we can open up the reviewing process to other members of the community, although the configuration of the review process is still being developed. You can mail your proposals or any air checks to the station, Attention Programming, at 3729 Cahuenga, that's Cahuenga Boulevard, West in North Hollywood, California, 91604. Our present programming grid is changing a little. We are moving the KPFK calendar to the end of the 5 o'clock hour as a way of trying to reach as many listeners. Our morning show producers team has slightly changed. It is now being produced by Sonali Kahalkar and Christopher Sprinkle, with assistance from other producers and volunteers. Our 3 o'clock hour may be changing as well. We will be experimenting with programming produced by various collectives and by the training program. We've launched off a few training programs here at the station, one of which is a producer training program, which is taught and directed by Armando Gudino, former producer of The Morning Show. The producer's training program is a new initiative here at KPFK and will be an ongoing project. We opened up the selection process about 3 months ago and selected 5 trainees who have had made a commitment to meet it twice a week for the next 8 weeks. We started this training program 2 weeks ago, and the producers are receiving hands-on training that gives them an introductory level of producing public affairs, themed program, and segments. We hope that this will contribute to existing programs and develop new programming in the form of segments, themes, or actual programs. Contributions in this training program can be heard tomorrow at the 3 o'clock hour. We will be accepting more applications for this training program on August 1st. Another training program that's launched off is the News Training Program, which is a 4-week training process. The volunteers that go through this training process will learn basic journalistic writing, intro to field recording, interview techniques, engineering, and learn how to edit. Both of these training programs are open to volunteers, and if anyone is interested, I encourage you to call our volunteer coordinator, Kayla Kama, at 818 818-985-2711, extension 213. That's 818-985-2711, extension 213. I also wanted to touch a bit on programming collectives, which are a new part of KPFK and started this past March. The essence of collectives is to reach out to the community and have them become involved with programming, be it specific or region-based. We hope that the collectives can contribute to the programming to ensure that their issues, concerns are being addressed either in the form of segments, assisting us with resources, or developing actual programs. Our hopes is that it's not programming that can be limited to an hour block, but contribute to programming throughout all of KPFK. At this time, there are about four programming collectives in formation. There's the West South Asian Collective, the Asian Pacific Islander Collective, the African Collective, the Latina Collective, and a few more that are developing, such as the Activist Collective and a Youth Collective. The collectives have contributed in forms of developing segments and region-based programming. It's been a challenge to accommodate all the collectives because of the lack of resources, and at the time we didn't have a training structure in place. But now that we've initiated a few training programs, we hope that this will alleviate some of the difficulties. If any of you are interested in developing a programming collective, please feel free to contact me via email or phone at emania, that's M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, I, double L, A, at kpfk.org. Or give me a call at 818-985-2711, extension 202. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Esther, our interim program director. I'm getting it right this time. To those of you just tuning in, this is Eva George, the new general manager on KPFK 90.7. We're doing our report to the listener. At this point, I just want to elaborate a little bit more about, I guess, the challenges that I'm facing as a GM. And Esther mentioned some changing in programs. And one of the things that's going to be happening, we hope, in the 3 to 4 o'clock slot would be more youth-orientated programming. So we look forward to that. We have a group of young people that's being trained in producing right now, and they're very excited and ready to go on air. So in the meantime, I think my biggest problem or my biggest challenge at the station, I don't like the word problem, but my biggest challenge at the station is probably the issue with regards to HR or the lack of HR and the lack of organizational infrastructure, the lack of policies, the lack of procedures to create accountability, the lack of procedures and structures for things like how do you deal with grievances or conflict resolutions, etc. So a lot of my time over the last 2 weeks have been spent on dealing with personnel issues and HR problems. Out of the 33 staff people that we have on staff, 19 are currently temporary staff, and that creates a lot of problems with regards to how we deal with benefits. And on that note, the station don't currently have a union contract. They used to previously have a contract with AFTRA. So I need to start negotiations so that we can get people back into the union, and that leaves a lot of time. That's a lot of time on my hands that I'm hoping I could get a person from HR to assist and take some of that load off. Some of the other things that we'll be doing over the next few weeks is the hiring processes. I'm hoping to start the interviewing process for news director and development director within the next week. Also, the position for program director will be advertised as soon as we have consulted with all the different parties involved about the job description and established a search committee for that. You know, I have described my situation as for the search committee, as for the GM search committee, as a bit crazy and maddening. And I think at that time I wasn't speaking from a position being the GM, but speaking as an applicant going through all of those interviews. And I really think that the process worked very well. Also, there's a couple of other things that I think it's with all the HR problems and the structural issues that needs to take place, I don't really have the time to look at the issues that I really need to spend my energy on, and that would be the development of the program council, working with the collectives, doing community outreach, building relationships, trying to reach out to donors for financial assistance to the station, as well as assistance with resources and the lack of resources that we have, especially in the news department. And so another challenge that I think one of the biggest challenges also would be to develop a local news department that does reflect you know, what's happening within our communities. And once again, we have the opportunity to redefine and shape the way we think and what we want to do with programming, with news, and being able to bring the listeners closer and work together rather than, you know, having two different groups sitting apart, because this is your station. In the meantime, I did briefly this morning touch on the issues of the lab. I now have the new lab chair, Lydia Brazan, on the air with me. So, Lydia, are you there? Let's just take Lydia, and she will give us an update about the lab, where they are now, and what would be happening over the next few weeks. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for her, other things that we need to get ready for is the elections, as well as further discussions on the bylaws. Lydia, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Listen, yes, this absolutely, those things that you just mentioned, the elections and the bylaws, are enormous projects that the lab is tackling right now. Some of you may remember that I went on air before describing the consultation process that we had started in relation to the elections. And these elections, for the listeners that aren't aware, is that for the first time ever, you'll be able to elect the local advisory board members, but it's a very elaborate process that really we should be farther along than we are at the moment in order to do it in such a way that we hear from the listeners substantively. But we are where we are. So,
and that, Lydia, would include also the community needs assessment, right?
Well, yes, there's a committee under the community needs assessment specifically tasked with moving along with this election process, because there are several election proposals that have surfaced, as well as the original one from KPFA, since they've had two elections already, and that forms the basis of the point of reference in relation to the settlement, the court settlement, to which we are looking to in terms of a beginning structure to develop our own election formula, which may be the same, or it may be similar, or it may be substantively different. But that's where we are, and we really want people's input in relation to this. So that's one. And then the other is the bylaws procedure. And the bylaws, there are meetings going on right now regarding the bylaws. And I believe that, we're at a stage where we've never had this level of participation and relationship with the station. And so if the listening public will please bear with us while we get everything on websites and so forth, but I think that we are at a position now that we are starting to have carts on the air when we have bylaws meetings, when we have lab meetings with ample notification. We're hoping to, by the third week in July, have another local advisory board meeting, which, again, stay tuned for the cards. Keep checking the KPFK site for information, and that's one way to keep abreast of what's going on. Also, we're able to accept applications to the local advisory board. Now, this may be confusing because, of course, we are looking toward having elections by the end of the year, but in the interim, just because of attrition, people's lab cycles have expired, and so we have a smaller board than we are able to sustain in relation to the degree of work that we have to do, and just to be in compliance, actually. So just recently, David Adelson, who was the chair, his term on the board expired, so we're short one more person. And Julie Thompson, who was our vice chair, has taken a 9-month leave of absence due to work. And so, therefore, again, we're even shorter than we were a month ago.
Lydia, how many people do you have on the lab right now? Because I know I got the numbers wrong this morning.
Right. Well, we have 12, but one of those is on a leave of absence. And so we're short in terms of the number of the type of work that we have to do, and even in terms of establishing a working board in order to vote accordingly and so forth. And so this may have to be increased depending on the type of necessity and the degree of participation that other lab members who, again, due to their own work in the community and other work, are unable to fully participate or have been unable to at this time. And some one or two of those may be reconsidering their stay on the lab. May not. They may be able to a lot more time. So there are several variables. But regardless, whether we increase the lab or we add to the lab or we replace people on the lab because of these expired terms and the circumstances I just described, we can always take lab applications. So we actually have a little bit of a waiting list for people who have applied in the past. And the lab application can be found, I believe, already, if not today, certainly by tomorrow, on the KPFK site, website. Also on localadvisoryboards.org, it should be up there by tomorrow as well. We just had to